not only the conscientiousness of a man who sees himself as a preserver of treasures, but also the exhibitionism of a great collector prompted Fuchs into publishing almost exclusively unpublished illustrative material in each of his works. Page 243. This material was almost completely drawn from his own collection. For the first volume alone in his Karikatur der europäischen Völker, Caricature of the European Peoples, he collated 68,000 pages and then chose only about 500. He did not permit a single page to be reproduced in more than one place. The fullness of his documentation and its wide-ranging effect go hand in hand. Both attest to his descendant from the race of bourgeois giants of around 1830, as Drummond characterized them. Drummond writes, "Almost all the leaders of the school of 1830 had the same extraordinary constitution, the same fecundity, and the same tendency toward the grandiose. Delacroix paints epics on canvas. Balzac depicts a whole society, and Dumas covers a 4,000-year stretch of human history in his novels. They all have backs strong enough for any burden." Footnote 39. Text. When the revolution came in 1848, Dumas published an appeal to the workers of Paris, in which he introduced himself as one of them. In 20 years, he said, he had written 400 novels and 35 plays. He had created jobs for 8,160 people, readers, typesetters, machinists, wardrobe mistresses. Nor did he forget the clerk. The feeling with which the universal historian Fuchs created for himself the economic basis for his magnificent collection is probably not quite unlike Dumas, amour propre. Later, the economic base made it possible for Fuchs to deal on the Paris market almost as sovereignly as in his own collection. Around the turn of the century, the senior representative of Paris art dealers used to say of Fuchs, "J'ai le museur qui mange tout Paris." Fuchs belongs to the type of ramasseurs, pack rats. He takes a Rabelaisian delight in quantities, a delight which can be noted in the luxurious repetition of his texts. Fuchs's French family tree is that of the collector, his German one that of the historian. The austerity of morals, characteristic of Fuchs the historian, marks him as a German. The austerity already characterized Gervinius, whose Geschichte der poetischen Nationalliteratur, History of Poetic National Literature, could be called the first attempt at a German history of ideas. It is typical of Gervinius, just as it is later of Fuchs, to represent the great creator in quasi-martial form. This results in the dominance of the active, mainly in spontaneous elements, in their nature over their contemplative, feminine, and receptive characteristics. Certainly, such a representation was easier for Gervinius. When he wrote his work, the bourgeoisie was in ascendancy. Bourgeois art was full of political energies.